everyone. Welcome to Fam for All Moms. My name is Shahrzad Kiade, and with me today is Susan Yara, and we have part two of a very, very special guest.
So if you guys were listening to our episode last week, we had my friend Elizabeth Hunterton on, and I say Hunterton kind of strangely because she's Elizabeth Mudo to me. That's how I met her, and then she got married and changed to Hunterton. But she was telling us about her backstory and how she was left at the Reno airport and was on this journey to finding her biological parents. She found who her biological father was. It turned out he had passed away. And we didn't pick up the second part of the story, and that was a big one, and that is, who is her biological mother? But there have been developments in that story, and we haven't found the answer, but it's been a very interesting story. So, Elizabeth, if you want to take it from here.
Yeah, so one day I was at the library editing my book that I'm working on, and I got a little 23andMe ping that said, you have a biological or a second cousin on your maternal side. And this is the first, like, I never thought a maternal relative would do 23andMe because she's 100% Japanese. They have no reason to, right? And, so I fire off a message like, hey, I'm Elizabeth, blah, blah, blah. And I text my husband and I was like, babe, I found a second cousin. How great is that? And he calls me and he was like, okay, babe, I don't think you understand what's happening right now. And I was like, how do you mean? And he said, a second cousin is really close. And I'm not close to my extended family, so I don't really know what cousins, and I don't know what all of that means. And so he was like, a cousin is close enough that we may be able to find her. And I was like, meet me at home. So we get home, get the kids fed, get them situated.
You have to go through all the situations, the routines, everything.
I mean, we have our system here. And so then, I start we get this big sheet of paper and we start plugging in a family tree, right? Like, we're going through obituaries and it says survive by brother, and so we're putting together this family tree and we have this woman, and I'll call her biological mom number one. So we're looking at her and it's like, wow, okay. She went to Berkeley. She's accomplished. She had two other children 12 years later.
Like 12 years after.
After she leaves me at the airport. And so I text Susan and I'm like, I think I found my biological mother.
And I'm like, what?
Right? Now, mind you, and this happened in March. Okay, so this is not new. I mean, this is so new. Like, this happened towards the end of March. And so I text Susan and I'm texting her in real time. She's like, what's her name? I'm like, here's her yearbook photo. Like,
oh yeah, we're both going at it.
In real time. And I'm looking at this date and I was like, well, that doesn't make sense. And because she passed fairly recently, and I think in 16. And so I'm looking at her obituary and I'm like, I mean, I see the date that she passed, but her birthday, that can't be right. So I'm asking my husband, I'm like, can you plug it into your phone? Because it's coming up as she was 31 when she left me at the airport. And that doesn't make, I'd always pictured this desperate teenager. She can't be 31. And it turns out, no matter how many times you do the math, it equals 31. And it threw me for a loop. And that was one of those examples when Susan, I said, she passed away and Susan's message was, I can't breathe. Oh my gosh, I can't. Are you okay? And that was one of those things. I looked at Nate and I was like, why can't you breathe? And she said, I'm so sad for you. And I wrote back, why? And she said, because you should get to hear some of this from her and you don't. And I turned to my husband. I was like, Nate, should I be sad? And Nate said, he was like, I don't feel comfortable telling you how you should feel right now. And I was like, okay, but would most people be sad? And he was like, well, most people don't have to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in that moment, I felt so alone in the world because I was like, oh yeah, I guess that hadn't occurred to me that most people don't have to try to piece together their birth story and their identity. Right. And so we, Susan and I are up until like 2 o'clock in the morning that morning, like going through all the possibilities and like stalking this poor woman, trying to figure out who she was and put together her story.
And also like looking at like, who are these family members? Who are these potential siblings?
And this
of
is all
Liz?
From like a 23andMe type of thing that you found somebody. How does that work? You take the test and then there's somebody that like pops up that could be your possible mom.
They alert you. You can be private. I'm private because I don't want to know if there's somebody else out there that I'm related to. But, you know, obviously for someone like Liz, like this is important, right? It obviously leads to a lot of stuff that she never expected for it to lead to. And so that's what happens is it pings you and it's like, oh, we've found a relative of yours. And usually it's like, probably someone you knew.
It's usually like an eighth cousin, which by the way, we're probably eighth cousins, ladies. Like,
yes.
It's usually that far, right?
Yeah.
So we were up until like 2 o'clock that morning and just kind of working our way through it. And so then I reached out to biological mom number one's nephew.
He seemed the most interesting. He was kind of cool. He works in media, like that kind of thing.
You guys, so you get a name and then you start Google stalking and social media stalking.
Yeah, and like, you find putting together family trees.
Oh
and
my God, what a trip.
I mean, it's scarily accurate. And it's amazing how
Why?
Much.
Why? Like what happened? It was so vague.
And
of
at
how
this
she
time,
away.
You think that she has passed and that she was 31 when she left you at the airport. So now you're stalking her family members.
Yeah.
And you DM'd her nephew.
The nephew. I messaged her brother, but he didn't respond.
And he's an older man. Who knows if he's on social media and all that stuff. And also, he, you know, we decided the siblings, like if this was the story and they don't know about Liz, like that would be too much, right? Like to send them a message, right? Yeah. So the next best choice was this nephew.
Yeah. So we messaged a nephew and he writes back and I've got like anxiety about it. And like Susan's talking me through the messaging, we send it and you know, he responds back and he was like, wow, as far as I know, my aunt only had my cousins. As you know, she passed tragically on that fateful day a few years ago. No details. So, you know, I'm like, what the heck happened? And he said, you know, before we move forward, I really want to make sure that you're right because my cousins are still this destroyed our family. And we're still very much mourning the loss of biological mom number one. And I was like, okay, before you do that, let me make sure I've left no stone unturned in this family tree. So then even though I know that it probably doesn't come from the other side, I was like, let me just look there. Enter biological mother number two.
Yep.
If I were pure Japanese, she and I would be twins. I mean, we look exactly alike.
Yes. Like,
really?
Like you think that Liz looks like her biological dad, but then you add in this picture of a woman that we found. And when I say we, I mean, it's really Liz who found it, but I'm like part of the story now. and you like side by side compare them and you're like, this is it. This is her.
What an emotional roller coaster ride. Okay. So
it was crazy. So we find her, she's alive. We're looking at all of her pictures. And I was like, same thing with the birthday. I'm like, that can't be right. And so then we start doing that math. She would have been 14 when she got pregnant with me, 15 when she abandoned me. Mm-hmm. And even though I thought I'd mentally prepared to discover that my biological father was a pedophile, I was not ready for that.
Yeah.
I spiraled quickly and spent that day. Now, mind you also, when I found my biological mother number one, COVID was a blip on the radar. Mm-hmm. So by biological mother number two, it had kind of exploded within those days.
Oh my God, that's right.
The park was still open. And so we went on this hike to just escape because I was not okay.
And she's saying she wasn't okay because she's thinking that her biological dad may have had a baby with a 14-year-old.
And he was 29.
Yeah.
And so it was wrapping my mind around that. And I remember I was sitting on this big sandstone formation in Las Vegas and I just started crying and praying. And I said, God, I thought he was a good man. Like Uncle Tim told me he was a good man. Uncle Tim didn't tell me that he impregnated 14-year-olds. And so I was really upset about that. And finally that night I worked up the courage, like all the courage I could muster to message this woman, biological mother number two. And I reached out to her with subject line, Reno Airport.
Triggering.
Right? Can you imagine? And so I write this message saying, you know, in 1980, I was abandoned at the Reno Airport. I was adopted by two loving people who raised me to love my biological parents. And, you know, it was this very kind message to let her know that there was no ill will. And she wrote me back and said, I'd love some more information because it sounds a little bit like one of those scams, like, hey, I'm an heiress, but I can only get the money if you send me all your info. So I sent her the information and I said, basically, what I'm asking you is if you're my biological mother. Like, let's just cut through it and get to the
end. Like, literally the second message to her, she's like, I'm just going to ask her, are you my biological mother?
Yeah.
I mean, what I can only describe as the most unexpectedly kind message I've ever received in my life. And she said, you know, she said, sadly, I'm not your biological mother, but I hope when you find her, she is as proud of you as you deserve her to be. And she accepts you with open arms. And if she doesn't, I'm here.
Wow.
Like, so incredibly kind. And she has been very much part of this journey. And at the same time, I was relieved that I didn't have this 14-year-old mother.
Mm-hmm. Right? Though it made sense to us. Like, that's why I think Liz was also wrapping her head around that, because it made a lot of sense. Like, if she was 14, 15, then of course that she left her at an airport.
Yeah.
The narrative makes sense, right?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in the police report, there is a witness that has a Hispanic man, a Black man, a Japanese or an Asian woman, and a baby at a casino the night before. And I was like, this makes sense. You know, a teenager, a baby, mm-hmm. this aligns with witness account number two. So there was that, but I was relieved. And I said, you know, do you think your aunt, biological mom number two, do you think your aunt would be willing to speak to me? Because she is the intersection. I'm either related on her side or on her husband's side. And she said, oh, absolutely. I'm very close with my aunt. She's my brother's youngest sister. And I was like, youngest sister? I only have the one. Who's the other sister? So then I have to go back to my family tree and add this other woman. And this other woman has a daughter. Here comes biological mother number three.
This episode of FAM is brought to you by OxiClean.
OxiClean is the best stain remover. It's very versatile, so it's great for all those little dirty moments in your life. You know what I mean?
My boys
are playing outside so much, and with that, I love it. But with that means a lot of cleaning, a lot of messy, dirty situations stains. And I'm so happy that I have OxiClean. It actually cleans bathroom tile and grout as well. Fun mm-hmm. fact.
And did it removes carpet stains. Did you know that one?
No. And did you know that it can also clean outdoor patio furniture? Hey.
Mm-hmm. I actually do know that because I used it the other day because Nikosh was drinking juice and he like poured it all over our outdoor furniture.
Dang, mm-hmm. girl. Mm-hmm. That's no fun. You guys have got to try OxiClean versatile stain remover for yourself. To work your magic with OxiClean, go to OxiClean.com/try me and order a free sample. That's OxiClean.com/try me, T-R-Y-M-E, for a free stain fighting sample while supplies last.
Biological mother number three is a mystery wrapped in enigma, is just this elusive character. And she would have been 17 when she got pregnant with me and 18 when she left me. I look like her. She disappears in 1979. That's the last year she goes to public high school. She's then transferred to this elite private school in which she is only mentioned in name, but never in photo. She disappears from the face of the planet. I find her social media. She only uses initials. She got married very young. There's almost no electronic footprint for this woman.
Except that she likes dogs, which was a big deal.
She likes dogs, like me. And her LinkedIn profile has a picture of Jessica Alba. Like, this is a woman who does not want to be found.
Mm-hmm.
And I find some pictures of her from when she's younger. We look alike. We sit alike. Like, we both do this weird thing when we're slouching down with our arm. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, she's doing it. Like, I'm doing it as I'm looking at it. I literally own two of the pieces she has in her photos from the 80s. Like, I own the exact same pieces. Like, our fashion is the same. She has a career in special events. Me too. And so I'm unpackaging this, and this is her. I mean, She doesn't want to be found. She's the right age. She got transferred after she got into this trouble and had a baby. It all makes sense. So I send biological mother number 3 the same email, like, you know, I was raised low, da-da-da-da-da-da. And she also asks for more information. And I send it to her. And same thing, what I'm asking is, are you my biological mother? And she responded, and it took me like 45 minutes, much to everyone's chagrin that's involved with it. I was like, oh, she messaged back. Like, what'd she say? I'm like, I don't know.
I know. I was like, open it, open the message.
I couldn't, like, I clean all downstairs and I get, yeah. I was like so anxious, right? Like I'm cleaning up. I come upstairs. I put some makeup on because somehow I just feel like she deserves that. And I was like, I remember like that day, I was like, this is the last day where I live not knowing who my biological mother is. Like, this is it. Like, I finally get to join the I Know Who My Biological Parents Club. Like, I have a full membership after today. Like, this is a big deal and the gravity is not lost on me. And so I come upstairs and I get my quiet space. I've got myself put together. Because again, it's COVID, so you're sequestered. Like, this is the time when we're still doing sweats and not doing anything.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Feels like ages ago.
It does. It's crazy. And I click the message and she says, you know, sadly, I'm not your biological mother. I never had kids. This is the first time actually talking through this. So I don't have any of my defense mechanisms in place for this conversation, but that was day 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gone,
it was emotional. She found biological mom number 1. We thought for sure, this is it. No. Biological number 2, thought for sure, this is it. No. Biological mom number 3, thought for sure, because she had disappeared, all that kind of stuff, yeah. Didn't want to be found. We were like, this is 100%. This is it. Last of the options as well on the mm-hmm. family tree. Mm-hmm. And like Liz writes me back, she's like, she says no. And I was like, she's lying.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering too.
And I wrote back, I was like, I believe her. I don't think she's it. And I have gone 40 years never crying for my biological mother. I have gone 40 years without feeling like I ever lost a biological mother. And in a week I lost 3. And it was so hard. Like it was like, I shut down for a couple days. Like I didn't do much of anything. And my boys are so sweet because they're like, mommy, it's okay. Like we will find your other mommy. We will find her. And they're like, they're trying to help me feel brave, and they were being so great about it. But that third one, that took me down. Like I was so upset and so sad. And then I was led back to biological mother number 1.
Mm-hmm.
And when I really thought about it, I said, okay, for somebody to pull off the perfect abandonment, she probably did have to be a woman who had the acumen and the savvy and the strategic thinking and the reasoning and to think of all of that. Because I guess when I put the narrative together with the teenager, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And so I pulled out my bucket list because I carry a physical bucket list with me every day. I pulled out my bucket list and I crossed off, find out about my biological parents. And I wrote her name next to it and the date, and had really come to terms with that. And sent the cousin again on March 30th. I sent him a message saying, hey, I've exhausted every other option. I do believe your aunt is my biological mother.
Mostly because the two that are alive said no. Right. So like, what other right. answer do you need? Right.
Right. Right. And because you wanted to find out for sure no's from the other two before you went back to
yeah.
one.
Yeah. Because there's siblings involved. And what I ended up writing him was, I said, you know, I do think that she's my biological mother, but if you please don't feel obligated to pursue it if you're not comfortable with it, because I have lived my entire life knowing that I may never get answers to my questions. I do not want the power to rewrite who these people think their mother is, and she is deceased, and now they will have questions that they never get answered, and I don't want to shift the burden. Like, that's not, I don't want that responsibility. I don't want that power. I don't want that role. I would rather go to the grave with my unanswered questions than to add those to somebody else's life that didn't expect that. And so I don't hear back from, I still haven't heard back from him. And that was March 30th. And then Saturday, 3 days ago, I get a ping, another second cousin.
Yeah. Wait, what month are we in? We're in August right now.
We're in August.
Okay. August.
Yeah. So we're in August. So it's been now 4 months. So,
and by the way, like she's jumping to this, but she closed the book on it. Like she was like, this is very likely my biological mother. She has passed away. I'm not going to keep bothering these people. I am done. And she was like, that's it. I got more answers than I ever expected I was going to get at this point, and I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. So the last few months, I mean, we've been dealing with my issues.
Girl, that's a bottomless pit.
Liz has been dealing with my issues now. And then she sends me this text message that she's about to share with you guys.
On Saturday, I said, all right, we've got a new second cousin. Here we go for round two.
And it's like, what? Wait, what do you mean a new second cousin? I thought we exhausted all the family.
So did I. And now with this information, they think that it is the aunt who was willing to speak with me from biological mother number two. Her husband may have had a sibling, and his sibling is my biological mother's parent. So many arrows right now, but that's kind of where it lies. And I was like, I really need to speak to my aunt's husband. Like that's key. I have to speak to that aunt's husband because he's 88 and like, it's now or never. Like he's aging and I've got to get to him before he passed. And an hour and a half ago, I got an email.
Like today? Saying,
I'm about to walk into the studio.
Jesus.
Yeah. Right before I'm about to walk into the studio, I parked my car and saw a text message from her.
Yeah. And the text message or the email said, my aunt is definitely willing to speak to you. And this is from biological mother number two.
The kind one, the one that we thought.
She has been so kind and throughout the past 4 months has checked on me like, hey, I hope I'm not overstepping. How is your search going? I hope you're okay. Like she's been so, and she was like, please, no, I'm not trying to insert myself. I want to know you're okay. Like she's been amazing.
So it would be her aunt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Her aunt and her uncle. Her uncle was the key. Her uncle is the key because it's his brother.
Okay.
Who is my biological mother's parent.
Okay.
Who would be my grandparent, I guess is the easiest way to say it, right? Mm-hmm. So his brother would be my grandparent. And I got the email an hour and a half ago that her aunt is definitely willing to speak to me and that I never need to apologize for reaching out and asking for her help. And that the aunt's husband, her uncle, passed away a couple months ago.
Like what the F, dude?
So unfortunately, I don't really know what that means for the search, but I know that, I'm sorry, it's so new. I don't know what that does for the search, and maybe the search has come to an end and has come as far as it's going to, and that's okay. It's okay. But I'm going to reach out to the aunt who may know her husband's brother's name, you know, and may have some answers there. You know, but that's all we can do is just keep trying. And then, you know, I think one of the harder parts of this, you know, on Saturday when I was notified of the new second cousin, you know, it's like, man, so we are back to the infinite world of possibility. Like we're back to where she can be the world's worst human being. And we're back to where she can be alive or not, you know? And it's like the first time it was easier because I didn't know how emotional it was going to be. And this time I think I'm more fearful because I know how emotional this ride can be. really coming to terms with the fact that from a different time and a different place, I know that I can bring shame, and I know that. And that's, you know, I had come to terms with that with the first, you know, once I closed the chapter on the first search. So now it's like we're back to square one with all of the familiar emotion and all of the new ones that we've just learned in the past few months. And it's a lot. It's a lot, but it's all going to be okay no matter what. And I know I'm crying and I'm sad right now, but it's just because it's so new and I haven't had any time to, you know, process it. But that's where we're at.
Wow. I mean, how do you think anybody listening could be helpful in any way? Like sharing the story or...
I mean, sharing the story. Here's the thing. It's like we've narrowed things down. Like this biological mother number two, who's being mm-hmm. very helpful. There's a part of her, I bet, that's like... And, you know, obviously I'm making assumptions, but there's probably a part of her that's like, well, we know we're related somehow, yeah. right? Like, so she's kind of like on board now. She's like, okay, we're related. There's something within, like there is a family, right? Right? Like,
yes.
Like Liz,
we know the family.
Yeah,
like,
Liz knows
the family. We know the family name. Like, yeah. It's just a matter of connecting these dots. But I know that my grandfather, the biological grandfather's father, came over on a ship in 1886. Like, this is how far back my yeah. research goes. Like, yeah. I have the ship manifest. What we don't know is his brother, the uncle's brother, may very well, like, my biological grandfather may still be in Japan. We just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, what's, like, there are a lot of unanswered questions here. It opens the door to, like, oh, crap. Like, there is a lot more to unpack.
Yeah.
And also, you know, like, wow, Asians really can keep some secrets.
Somebody knows something. Like, somebody knows in 1980, their friend was pregnant or kind of, you know, left school at winter break and came back a little bit lighter,
yeah.
you know, and yeah. maybe had some issues after that. Like, somebody knows that somebody took a road trip with a baby to Reno. Like, you know, somebody knows something.
Yeah. Right. Not necessarily family. Like there right. is, like you said, like
witnesses. Yeah. Or like, just
do you have a Japanese friend that you went to high school with in what city? Like what cities?
Yeah.
Would
was
be
it, was it Reno or?
No,
Tahoe
it was like
or?
San Jose, Monterey, okay. Northern California.
Yeah.
Okay. So like Bay Area and stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Like in the for holidays, the holiday time, Christmas yeah. time
of
in 1979. Yeah. And then into January of 1980, did one of your Japanese friends and likely Japanese American, who knows? We don't know, right?
Yeah.
Did one of your friends who is of Japanese ethnicity, was she pregnant and have a baby and then suddenly didn't have a baby? Mm-hmm. Or was she just different? Mm-hmm. Like something about her like seems sadder or just different after January or in January of 1980? Did your friend move to a different school? There's something, right? Like, we don't want to share names because it's not fair, but there's somebody that knows something.
Definitely.
They do. And I, you know, it's impossible for anyone to remember 40 years ago, but it's that change of a decade. Like, it's kind of memorable. You know, it's like the transition from the 70s to the 80s.
Yeah. And the person could be anywhere from, I guess, like 55, let's say, to 70, 60.
70?
60, 70.
Like, yeah. I mean, the witness yeah. report said 18 to 35. So it's right. a big right, range. Right, right.
Yeah. God, what a wild ride.
I know. The biological mother ride, that was a wild one.
Yeah.
And it's still, and we're still on it as of Saturday. Like, it's crazy when you asked me to come back on the show, this had not happened.
Yeah.
Like, that's how fresh all of this is, like how current it is.
Well, okay. So wait, does this mean, see, I'm even asking questions. That's how current it is. Does this mean that the first three potential biological mothers are now completely off the table?
Biological mother number two and three have been ruled out. So we still have biological number one, the 31-year-old.
Okay.
She is still very much a possibility.
Okay. There's a potential for this new
a
one
new
now.
Person introduced yes. okay
like but we don't even know if there was a female that could have had a baby, right? Like, that's the problem,
right? Like, we don't know what biological or what my grandfather, what children he had.
So that's where, so there could be like five children, there could be five
options. Could be five mm-hmm. daughters mm-hmm, mm-hmm. which opens up five new conversations and five potential mothers, just like what happened on the other side.
Somebody definitely knows something.
Someone knows something.
I mean, it's pretty hard to hide a pregnancy.
You know,
I mean, I know it's possible.
It's possible.
People have done it. And especially if you want to try and hide it.
And
I'm
when
sure
you're a
you
teenager.
Can. And when you're a teenager and you know
teenager.
That you might have severe repercussions. For
and there was no internet. There was no.
Yeah, and like, also nobody identified postpartum depression either. So that was, you know, that's a huge thing. She might have been. Who knows? I can see how you can make up so many. Not make up. But fantasize,
no, but yeah, no, create.
You know, create you stories about.
You 100% can.
Yeah. Because I just now talking about it, I'm thinking of the type of person and the mental health aspect of somebody that would, you know, be forced to leave their baby at an airport. God, Liz. Wow. One of the things that people text me and DM'd me about with your first episode with us is just how you have so much peace and I don't know, empathy and compassion and just tolerance towards people. And it's just amazing that you can have been hit with so many curveballs throughout your entire life. And you're so happy and kind and sincere. It's just amazing. I don't know if it's something that you practice daily or if you were just born with it or how you have managed to find happiness.
I always just looked at it that I would, you know, from having experienced abuse throughout my life, I just knew I never wanted to become that.
Yeah.
And if I don't know what boxes to check, I get to decide. So I'm going to decide to be this and this and this and this because no one has told me I can't be. So I have to be kind. You know, that's something I need to be. And that's not to say I always was. I mean, if you go back into my history, you'll find plenty of people who said I was a mean girl. I have since apologized to them, but still.
But Liz is one of the best people I know. She got me to do some of the best things I've ever done in my life. She, you know, she's not in person with us right now because she decided to volunteer for the homeless. Like, who is this person, right?
I
like,
know,
she,
you're a saint, Liz.
Yeah.
You really are.
She's
far from it.
It's very inspiring, I have to say. It's so inspiring to hear your story. All of it. And I know we haven't even scratched the surface because we haven't even talked about your birth story yet, which is crazy.
Yeah, I know.
And I feel like that's a really inspiring, I mean, not the story of your birth, but of one of your sons.
Yeah.
So
there's so much.
You're just going to be our series regular because I just get to sit and hear. And it's really, really inspiring to hear about everything you've overcome and with a good attitude.
Oh, thank you.
You know, it feels rare and it feels so needed right now. Just, this is all during fucking COVID, dude. You're going through this, you know? I mean, it makes me never want to complain about anything again.
But you know what? Like the one thing, I mean, and we get into mental health and all things mental health, but you know, I am diagnosed PTSD. And the one thing I always tell people is that kindness is no one's trigger. And if we all have the power to be kind and make somebody else's day a little bit easier, because on a bad day, I'm really bad. Like I have a really tough time when the days are hard. And so on my good days, which is, I would say 90% of my days are pretty good. You know, we all have the ability to make somebody's day easier. And in some cases, unbearable days bearable. So if kindness is no one's trigger, then let's do that.
I'm speechless. And every time she comes on, I just sit there and I can't even like process anything. And mm-hmm. I'm so inspired by her. Mm-hmm. And you're lucky to have her as a good friend.
I know she and, you know, I like to think she chose me, but maybe I chose her.
She's incredible.
She's an amazing person. And the thing is that it's like she said at the end, it's like somebody knows something. And we have been friends for almost two decades now.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, like she made peace with this. She really did. When I say she made peace with not knowing who her biological parents were, there was a good decade of our friendship where it didn't come up much.
Yeah.
Like we just started doing the things like getting married. All of our friends started getting married. We all started having kids and life kind of went on its way, I guess. And you start to not forget about these things, but you start to just put it aside and move on to like focusing on your kids and everything. And then this happened. And it made it become such a, you know, like brought it all back to the forefront,
right,
that she could potentially find her biological parents.
That's so crazy. You know, you hear these stories about 23andMe, and mm-hmm. this isn't an ad for 23andMe in any way, shape, or form, but I just, wow.
Yep.
Wow, 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 wow. Mm-hmm. What a wild ride. And like we said in the episode, I just want to remind you guys again, if you think that there's any way you can help, you never know with a story like this.
Just share it. If you live in Northern California.
Yeah, the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have friends who are Japanese, friends who, you know Japanese people. It's like, we all know somebody, right? There's someone that knows something, and it just takes asking some questions.
It gives me chills to think that what if something like this public conversation could lead to her finding a little bit more about her family?
Yep.
It makes me want to cry. Anyway, on that note, we are going to stop talking because I made it through successfully without shedding too many tears. So I'm proud of myself because I'm a crier. Okay, guys. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll leave the info to Liz in the description of this. And she's in our private Facebook group, so you guys can reach out and connect with her, too. I'm sure this resonated with a couple people out there.
Yep,
definitely.
For sure.
So, okay. Well, have a good one, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.